from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, biggest thing I'm looking forward to seeing on Friday, Texans and Steelers. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 610. Damian Pierce. We're going to see Damian Pierce early and often because Joe Mixon still is not practicing. And Joe Mixon not practicing until we see Joe Mixon back. Like, Damian Pierce takes on even more importance for this team. Now, we're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans on Damian Pierce in just a second. I will point out Joe Mixon, who's not been practicing, was working out on a side field towards the end of the run of practices here in Houston and looked really good. Like, he was running, Seth, with that GPS vest thing on.
The bra. The sports bra.
The sports bra. And they had
I don't like the way it looks, but yes.
They had like the rubber, like the long band attached to the back of it where he was running with a lot of the resistance band, I guess. I don't know what they call it. But he looked good working out. He's still not practicing, though. Here is D'Amico Ryans on the NFL Network yesterday talking with Steve Wyche and Brian Baldinger about Damian Pierce.
Damian has done a great job since the spring. I just see a guy who has a clear mind, fast feet. He's playing decisive, right? I mean, he's explosive. So you're back to seeing that rookie Damian who can gain a lot of yards for us, and he has a physical mindset to him that I really love. Love how he finishes the runs. I'm excited to see him, you know, play on Friday to see, so everyone can see,
right?
This new/old Damian, how he was his rookie year.
The new/old Damian. That'd be nice. I'll tell you one thing, too. Damian in this offense, if he can figure it out, could be exactly what you want, where in an outside zone running team, one of the benefits of it is that even if a guy gets hit at the line of scrimmage, he still gets 3 or 4 yards because the defensive linemen and the linebackers have had to run laterally and are like they're hitting you from the side. So like Damian is built for it, that if he can just make one cut and go and get vertical, that dude's going to get you 3 or 4 extra yards, even if somebody's tackling him from the side. I mean, it is. As a defensive lineman, it's a pain in the butt because you might have a game where you have, like, 10 tackles, but they're all for 4 yards because you're getting off your block and you're hitting Arian Foster, but it's from the side. And you're just – and he's not going to – like, Arian Foster doesn't just go down like a feather when you hit him from the side. He gets 3 or 4 extra yards, and it's a pain in the butt. And Damian is that guy. He's gonna, you might get him down, but his momentum's gonna carry him forward.
Well, especially Seth, too, like in the fourth quarter of games, like if Damian can figure out what's going on in front of him with all the blocking, John Harris pointed this out earlier when we had him on an hour ago, and I think kind of playing into what D'Amico just said in that cut about the old and the new Damian sort of combined, which, you know, Johnny was saying, like, you know, you figure out what's going on with the blocking in front of you, and then once you get through that hole, if guys are coming to tackle you, you can punish them like the old Damian Pierce. That was one of the things that I thought, that's where I thought Damian, like, whether he was overthinking or just wasn't grasping things last year, I thought it affected his physicality last year, too.
Yes, and that's where I worried about, and I still do a little bit, You know, when guys change their body weights, and Damian, people have been talking about Damian trimming down this year in camp, and I'm like, guys, we've been through this before already. Like, yeah, that was, remember everybody's all excited about how he trimmed down last year, and man, the thing, like, when that, his superpower was bulldozing people.
Yes.
And sometimes you worry when a guy tries to become maybe a little different type of athlete than what was working before, it's not always the best thing. Yeah, because even on his good plays last year, Sean, I knew exactly what you're talking about as soon as you brought it up. Even on his good plays, there still wasn't that bulldozing element. It wasn't the extra two or three broken tackles at the end of a play. And that's something I'm eager to see is, okay, a little bit of extra shiftiness is and everything is fine, but it's like, it's like when a defensive lineman will do it where, man, the guy's like a hellacious power rusher and then he tries to slim down a little bit and put a spin game in his game, and so now you're not as good as the thing that made you really good, but now you've got an extra tool in your arsenal that's not actually any good either.
I know you laid it out really well a minute ago in terms of like what the challenge is for a defensive lineman going against that scheme, going against physical running backs, and it got me thinking that one of the other things you said about that scheme, that Coop Shanahan scheme, is for big defensive linemen, it runs the hell out of you. Like by the fourth quarter, you're super tired. Can you put yourself in the shoes of a defensive lineman, the fatigue you're experiencing, and then having to tackle the 2022 version of Damian Pierce?
Right, yeah, you know? That is what happened. I mean, when Denver did it, like when the offense was really just crushing people in the late 90s, they're doing it at altitude too. So you're running back and forth across the field, biting on play action and everything, stretching plays out to the sideline. Then by the fourth quarter in that altitude, your legs are just shot. It does. It has an effect, and we would see this in the Gary Kubiak offenses. As a defensive lineman especially, but also I think the linebackers end up suffering from it a bit too. You're going back and forth across the field all day, and by the fourth quarter, your legs are just, they're zapped. They're just not working as well, and that's when you can really pile on. And the old, you know, sometimes it's overstated that, hey, this back is a volume back. There's actually not that many backs that get better over the course of a game. In this offense, when it's executed properly, they do, because the defense just flat out gets tired. So it might feel like you're just like, they're wasting all these run plays early in the game. They're not. They're like physically taxing the defensive linemen. And yeah, Damian would be perfect in that regard, especially Joe Mixon and Damian as a 1-2 punch of taking advantage of those zapped legs. It's an enticing thought.
Yeah, that's why when I say 2022 Pierce, I only mean like play to play. Like 2022 Pierce would have been doing it in the fourth quarter after touching the ball 23 times already. Like in this, to your point, in this, you're going to get both of those guys. You're going to get hopefully that physical version of Damian Pierce with 10 carries, you know, with fresh legs.
And then if you have, whether it's maybe if Cam Akers, I'm still trying to, you know, I'm trying to retain my excitement over Cam Akers because the guy's had two Achilles tendon tears. It's just, it's crazy. If he comes back and is just a viable NFL player at any point in his career, it's an incredible victory.
Yeah.
Because he's just been, you know, like the Rams tried to trade him for two straight years. He wasn't all that electric in Minnesota when he was up there. But, man, he looks good. We see how, the first day we saw him at camp, I'm like, wait, oh, he's practicing?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? He's like, oh, that, and that's him? He looks pretty good. And in the game, he looked damn good.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's not an every down back. If he had never gotten injured, I don't think he's an every down back. But, man, he's a rhythm changer if he can come back.
Yeah, I think the version of Cam Akers that we've seen at camp, like in practice, and that we saw in the game, in the Hall of Fame game, makes this team. I think he makes this team as the fourth running back behind Mixon, Damian, Dare, and then Cam. And then I think they hope that Juwar Jordan makes it through waivers and they put him on the practice squad.
I heard Mark and John talking about Cam Akers yesterday, and I didn't get to finish the conversation, but I think it was along the lines of, all right, are you at the point where, man, Cam Akers actually looks pretty good. Let's not let the rest of the league see it at this point. Maybe Cam Akers doesn't play in another preseason game because you might want to hide him on your practice squad.
For sure.
Or maybe you want to start him on the PUP or something, but especially if you want to hide him on the practice squad, they might have already shown too much. Just that one highlight run of him. There was a good run up the middle, and then there was that the reception out in the flats where he spun and ended up getting 10 or 15 yards out of it. That might have been enough for some people in the league to be like, huh, all right, there's something here.
Scored a touchdown, too. Got open in the red zone and caught a touchdown pass, too.
Yeah, that's right, which I thought was an interception at first because the Texans' uniforms looked exactly like Bears' uniforms. I like the uniforms, but not versus the Bears.
Right.
Because I had to keep reminding myself that the Texans were the white teams. Cam Akers caught that ball moving out of the front of the end zone, and my first thought was like, oh, why'd you, Case, how'd you throw that pick?
Yeah. Well, get ready for week two, buddy. That's who they play in week two, Sunday Night Football.
They'll have different color schemes.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Here was D'Amico Ryans on rookie tight end Cade Stover.
Cade has been the guy we saw on tape in Ohio, just tough, right? Making tough competitive catches, right? Finishing strong with the football, like the couple plays he made in the game, you know, last Thursday. It was just... it's cool to see a guy, like, you see him in practice, but you never quite know how they're going to respond when they get in the game. But it was cool to see Cade just be who Cade has been. Tough, physical, competitive, finishing, like, loving football. That's the Cade I knew and I grew to love watching him at Ohio State. And that's the guy who showed up in the Hall of Fame game.
Okay, so Cade Stover, this is a, you can separate rookies into two separate buckets in terms of the mistakes they make. They make physical mistakes and they make mental mistakes. The mental ones don't worry me with rookies as much at this stage of training camp, especially when you're talking about their overall development. And then they make physical errors, or not even mistakes, they just get beat, you know, when they get physically beat. I think that Cade in the game, there were a couple plays that I think he could have done a better job as a blocker that I think were more of a matter of him as a guy that's only been a full-time tight end for 2 years in his life. Whereas just needs to adjust to the speed of the NFL game. There was the one bootleg where maybe Cade was supposed to stay in and block, but if there's one thing I've learned from watching film with NFL offensive linemen, it's I'm very hesitant to crush any one individual on a busted pass protection because there could have been a... it looked to me on that play like Cade may have gotten a call that they were anticipating blitz or something to the left because he pulled off and was scanning for somebody that wasn't there. So it might not have been his mental error. They might have just decided to leave the defensive end unblocked on a naked boot. So whatever. I'm not all that worried about that play. Physically, I thought he held up fine. I think there were some plays where, as John alluded to earlier, there was one play where I think Cade may have been taking the guy, you know, in zone blocking especially, you take the guy where he wants to go, and it's up to the running back to adjust to it. I think there was an instance like that where Cade's guy made the tackle, but I don't think it was necessarily a bad block. There were a lot of instances of him getting the job done as a blocker. Versus backups, you know, it's not like all of a sudden he's George Kittle or anything, but I've seen enough promise out of him, and just given all the glowing reports about him out of Ohio State, I tend to be biased in favor of glowing reports out of Ohio State lately. I also I also tend to be biased by glowing reports out of CJ Stroud because he did it with Tank Dell. And he's just absolutely, those two, Cade Stover and CJ Stroud, love each other like brothers. So I'm still very optimistic about Cade Stover.
I know it's not an Ohio State player he's reporting about here, but where are we on CJ's offseason assessment of John Metchie right now?
I think that
CJ said CJ was over the moon about John Metchie.
As I think D'Amico basically said the same thing that we were saying. It's that there's something. The first 2 weeks of camp in practice, he did some really good things where he looked physically different. When he got into the game, he looked physically different again in a bad way. Like he just didn't have the same suddenness to him. There wasn't the same crisp. Like he just didn't look as good in a scrimmage situation, in a game situation. I think that jives with what we've seen in practice too, where I think he's been most impressive in the one-on-ones and seven-on-sevens, but in team play, he's had some drops. And I went back and I watched each one of his routes. He's not quite in time with the offense, and in a timing and rhythm in offense, you've got to get there. So for him, you know, he's not a rookie. But he's also a guy that hasn't This is the first year that he's been in camp and physically 100%. So I'm hopeful that you'll start to see more of the 7-on-7 version of John Mechie over these next couple of weeks. But he's definitely in a battle for a spot. I think the other thing with him, too, is you're in this tricky position where, okay, you gotta recognize and realize that he's coming off that 2-year cancer ordeal, where, you know, going into camp last year, he just wasn't physically really ready yet. Do I judge him like a rookie and think about the upside, or do I look at him like he's a fourth-year player or a third-year player and judge him that way? It's a very precarious situation.
Nick's going to end up trading somebody out of that wide receiver room. I don't think Nick Caserio is going to let just either, whether it's, you know, some team looking for an older guy in Robert Woods, or whether it's a team that had a good scouting report on Xavier Hutchinson, or whether it's a team looking for a Skoranek skill set, or John Mechie. Like, one of those guys, I think, because Nick has alluded to this every time he's talked about that wide receiver room, is there's going to be a good player that doesn't make this team that's going to make somebody else's roster. I think Nick's going to wind up trading one of those guys for a day three pick. And I think Mechie could be the guy. I said this last week, Seth, when you and I were talking about this. I would get on the phone with Carolina, who's quarterback is a former teammate of John Mechie, who's at a stage where they could use young receivers with upside, and see if they'll duke you a fifth round pick for him or something like that. You know,
and show them all the practice clips. I did it. I wanted to be like, I'm trying to be as objective as possible about it, because I've got I think we're all emotionally invested in John Mechie.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
and I did. I took a bunch of cut-ups from people that had, you know, from practice, from clips out at practice of him in one-on-ones and 7-on-7s and everything, because you're only allowed to shoot during certain portions of practice. And then I watched those, and then I watched the game, and it was like two different human beings.
Yeah,
it really was. So there's something. It's in him. There's a different level that he's capable of, but for whatever reason, it's not showing up in the game situation
right
now.
It's not clicking. C.J. Stroud is going to start this game on Friday. Doesn't look like Laramie Tunsil will start the game on Friday. Laramie's not been practicing. Blake Fisher has been getting all the reps at left tackle. So we'll have C.J. Stroud playing in a game, a preseason game, for at least a series, maybe two, with a rookie left tackle, potentially, depending on how the Steelers play this thing, going against a Pro Bowl edge rusher in Alex Highsmith. Here is D'Amico Ryans on the experience that Blake Fisher is getting going against Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter every day.
Going against Danielle and Will definitely speed it up for you. So the young rookie has had to learn pretty fast, and it's only made him better. And also, he's had a lot of good reps versus Danielle and Will, so he's held his own. So it hasn't just been totally one-sided as those guys have competed. So Blake has gotten better, but also Danielle and Will has gotten better from going against Blake and Titus as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that Alex Highsmith isn't the first genuine defensive end, edge rusher that Blake Fisher will have seen.
Yeah,
because that would be a shock to the system.
Yes,
that would be I didn't realize humans moved like this.
Practicing every day. It was 2021, and he's practicing every day against like Rashawn Gary and you know, whoever else they had.
Oh,
Rasheem Green. Rasheem Gary's actually a really good player for the Packers. Rasheem Green. Remember Rasheem Green?
Yeah.
It was 2021, man. They were bringing in a bunch of journeymen.
During the Hall of Fame game, I think it was Julius Peppers, as he was being interviewed on the sideline, told a story about going up against a running back. I can't remember who it was, who the scouting report on him had been like, this guy doesn't have his fastball anymore. He's not the same guy he used to be. And he said, like, Julius Peppers, in one of his first NFL games, went up and tried to tackle him, and it felt like he'd gotten hit by a truck. And Julius Peppers was like, this is a guy who doesn't have his fastball anymore.
He's
like, what else is out there?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had that. Sean, those moments don't stop happening through your career. The Texans' second game ever versus the Chargers, I had that against LaDainian Tomlinson. I'd been in the NFL for 6 years at that point. I thought I had LaDainian Tomlinson on a highlight reel tackle for a loss. I had him wrapped up. It wasn't bad tackling or anything. And I'm like, where is he going? I had him wrapped. I had him around the legs. I'm like, why is he running away from me?
Yeah, man.
I'm like, what the hell? How do you tackle this guy? What the hell?
Ben's in the control room shaking both of his fists like this right now.
You back here?
That's great.
It really was. I was like, it was like one of those dreams when you're trying to punch somebody, but your arm is like a limp noodle. Yeah. Like you're punching him as hard as you can and nothing happens. Yeah. I'm like, he's still going. Ah, I'm not even touching him anymore.
Except
where? Why?
Happening in front of millions of people on television and 70,000 people in a stadium. That's funny.
I don't know about millions, but yeah.
millions.
The expansion team versus the Chargers.
Football is king.
That's true. That tells you the power of the NFL. It was the expansion team versus the Chargers, and there were millions of people watching.
There were probably millions of people watching, yeah. All right, there is something that's coming out. I can't believe I didn't know that this was coming out on FX on September the 17th. I might have a watch party for this. I am 100% watching this bit of content that we are getting NFL related. We will tell you what that is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Oh, we're back. Welcome back in. Seth and I were just talking about National Oyster Day yesterday.
You are you're a man that never turns down an opportunity to celebrate a national anything day.
Correct.
When people complain about like this month or that day or anything, Sean's like, "Why? Yeah, let's celebrate everything the time."
Yeah.
So you went out for you had, what, like 123 oysters last night?
Felt like it. My bill looked like it at the end.
How many oysters is a lot of oysters?
I think like a norm, like Amy and I, like when we go out, we both like raw oysters, like on the half shell. We order a dozen, you know, that's what we get. So, and I usually end up eating the majority of them, like eight of them, and she eats four of them, and we're good.
I have to get so uncomfortably buzzed to eat an oyster that I've never really actually probably enjoyed an oyster. I know the thought. You don't chew them, do you?
You don't
let them go down the gullet.
You could, yeah. I kind of do because I put them on a cracker with a little bit of cocktail sauce and maybe even like a mini cracker sandwich and eat it that way.
You do?
Yeah.
So you got to chew that.
Yeah. So ultimately, the oyster gets chewed, but it's with some cracker in there, sort of little substance.
I'm always like, I like these spices, but the haka phlegm that they're covering doesn't do anything for me. Could you just give me something with the spices on it? Something like that?
Oysters Rockefeller. They actually cook those oysters. You know, they grill them and they put them in like a breaded, breaded covering. Yeah, those are, might like those a little better. They're not as kind of nasty and slimy as the raw.
Okay.
Yeah. I will watch, Seth. I saw this last night. I will watch this when it comes out on September the 17th. 1,000% chance. I am circling the date on the calendar. American Sports Story, Aaron Hernandez. And this is not
the classic American sports story.
This is not another documentary about Aaron Hernandez. We've already had one of those on HBO. We had the Patriots Dynasty docuseries, which had a whole episode. The episode about Aaron Hernandez was the best of those 10 episodes, and I think the easiest one that if you're just sick of the Patriots over the last two decades, just watch that one, episode 6 about Aaron Hernandez. It's really, really good. This is a movie with actors playing Aaron Hernandez and Tim Tebow and the like.
Nice.
Yes, I am here for this. I might have a watch party for this.
Who's playing Aaron Hernandez?
Somebody by the name of Josh Rivera is playing him.
Who's playing Tim Tebow?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's son is playing Tim
Tebow. Oh, the illegitimate son.
Is he?
Probably, right? Yeah, the one, I think it's the housekeeper's kid. I think he's in acting.
Is he?
He's a real bright kid. Looks kind of like, creepily like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but not. So it's weird. It's almost like you're watching an AI version of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
yes, that's what his picture looks like.
Yeah. But he's a real bright, I think he was a real bright kid, went to school, and, Schwarzenegger did right by him after, not doing right by Maria Shriver. But still, what network is this going to be on?
FX.
Is there any chance at all that this is actually a good movie?
Probably not, which makes me more inclined to watch it. It's going to be cheesy as hell.
Are they going to paint Aaron Hernandez out as a sympathetic anti-hero?
Look
at his upbringing and that and all the other things.
Maybe, I don't know about sympathetic, but maybe we get like a little more insight into why. Because there are people, I don't think they try to paint him as sympathetic. I think there are people that grew up with Hernandez or played with him that do try to explain, like, when his dad died, how negative an impact on him. It's not excuses, but more like maybe reasons why he turned out the way he did.
Aaron Hernandez still is like a prime example for me, because you see this, I saw this as a player. Guys who had the kind of, especially if they had like a crime element, because Aaron Hernandez was a blood or a crip? I can't remember.
Yeah.
He was in a gang, lots of times those guys, they figure it out and they become just decent, just productive members of society. But when you draft them to a team that's close to their hometown, there's just way too many of the old influences, and you got to be careful about that. That's what happened with Aaron Hernandez. He's up there and just too geographically close to where he grew up.
Yep.
Not saying now he managed to get himself into some pickles in Gainesville, so it's not like it's not like that was the only thing.
Bristol, Connecticut. Gainesville, Florida. Yeah,
it makes it a lot harder, I think, to kind of reform some guys that might, they can choose two paths, and it's a lot easier to go down the wrong path when you're close to all the old bad influences.
Dude, I'm looking at the IMDb for this thing. I can't wait. You have to watch this thing because we have to come in the next day and evaluate how good a doppelganger these actors were for the various people. They have someone playing Urban Meyer in this thing. They have someone playing Tom Brady in this thing. They have someone playing Gronk in this thing.
It's not a miniseries.
No,
it's just a movie. I wonder how much time they'll actually spend in
Gainesville. Check it. There's 10 episodes.
It's got to be, yeah.
It's 10 episodes.
To have name brand actors like Schwarzenegger's kid and...
Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Josh Rivera. This is almost as good as when the Sylvester Stallone kid ruined Rocky V.
Rocky V. Yeah. Sage Stallone, R.I.P. He was horrible.
Had like a broke ass Ralph Macchio playing the son of
he was Ratchet
Rocky Balboa.
He was
look at the shapely hips on this kid. He's going to be a fighter.
He was Ratchet Macchio, man. That's great.
So the fact that they had so many, but the fact that they even have a separate cast for Gainesville made me feel like, okay, this is going to be there'll be at least an episode or two at the University of Florida.
There's the Urban Meyer guy appears in it three episodes. The Tom Brady and all the Patriot guys, Josh McDaniels. They have an actor playing Josh McDaniels in this. They're all, the Patriot, Wes Welker. They're all in there for two episodes. Oh God, I can't wait for this thing, man. I'm very excited about this.
You got to look back. One of the most amazing things about Aaron Hernandez was how many people he unsuccessfully attempted to murder. The dude that he shot in the head that. Hernandez thought was dead, and then all of a sudden gets a phone call him a couple weeks later.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was a shooting at the University of Florida where the person that a couple of witnesses all of a sudden went mute, where Aaron Hernandez was a person of interest. So nobody knows what happened with that.
Yeah.
So, and there's probably other stuff out there that we might not even know about.
I can't wait for this thing, man. I cannot wait. Now,
Josh Rivera was in the Hunger Games.
Okay.
And American Sports Story. That's epic.
All right, so this is a chance for him to make his mark here. We're watching the birth of the next star of American cinema here. Josh Rivera.
He's got a familiar look about him. I think he's one of these guys that maybe has shown up in, you know, like as a bit actor and some other stuff.
How do you judge him as a look for being Aaron Hernandez in this thing?
I think he's Hispanic. But other than that, yeah. I'm not so sure.
I actually think Schwarzenegger's kid actually does in the glam shot that they have on IMDb. Not bad for Tebow. Like, I don't think he's going to be as yoked up as Tebow, ironically, because his father's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He looks like he's got kind of a pencil neck going in this picture. But Tebow is in all 10 episodes of this thing.
I can imagine the Schwarzenegger Jr., illegitimate Schwarzenegger Jr. being, that's not nice. That's not fair to that kid. Like, his mom was a...
Should we dump that?
No, that's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's just, I feel bad in calling that, like, obviously.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just watched the House of Dragons, where I just, little insight in the latest episode into what it's like to grow up the bastard child of a great man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's got you feeling badly about.
Yeah,
saying
I'm
this
feeling
about
bad about
Schwarzenegger's
the shipwright master or whatever from the House of the Dragon. I think the Tebow element. I wonder how much license they're going to take with all of this.
I can't.
Like,
wait.
Are they going to create moments between Tebow and Hernandez that never actually happened, where Tebow is trying to pray with him or something,
yeah.
And Hernandez says, "I'm not about that life, bro," or something like that.
Yeah, based on a true, because they can say based on a true story and then start to take licenses with it, you know?
Yeah,
just based on it.
I can't hang with some really cheesy line like, "I can't hang with Tebow. He don't bang," something like that.
Oh.
Something.
God, I hope that happens.
I'd rather be banging than hanging.
I hope
something, you know, or that he tries to get Tebow drunk or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I feel
I need cheesiness in this more so than anything else. Well, I need as much cheese as possible.
The last one of these that I can remember FX doing, and I'm sure they've done other ones, but the one I remember watching, they did one of these for OJ, where Cuba Gooding Jr. played OJ Simpson, and yeah. It was like watching Rod Tidwell be O.J. Simpson.
I can remember watching
it. It was like
that.
Rod Tidwell murdered two people, you know?
Remember like 18 O.J. pieces came out all at once?
Yes.
There were like two dueling documentaries, and then there were a couple docudramas. So I can't remember if I watched that one or not. I know they all end the same way.
Yes, they can't rewrite that.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to be insensitive to the Goldman family.
No. Did you hear they're going to get paid?
With what money?
They're doing an auction. They're doing an auction of a bunch of OJ's valuable things. At first, the attorney for OJ's estate said the Goldmans will never see a penny of this money, and he backed off of that pretty quickly. And they just ruled. The courts just ruled that that the Goldmans are going to get the proceeds from a bunch of different things that they're selling off from OJ's estate, like a Heisman Trophy, his golf clubs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got a macabre appeal to it, I suppose, that a lot of people might go higher than what you would think. You know, the thing, your first thought is like, oh, yeah, but who wants to be the jerk that bought that stuff? But there's a lot of rich jerks out there.
You know who's going to end up, I guarantee you, who ends up buying something from OJ's estate? Darren Revelle. Darren Revelle will 100% buy O.J. Simpson's driver's license, which is available, or like a copy of an old check. Revelle loves old checks, stuff like that. Revelle will buy something.
O.J. Simpson's net worth was estimated to be at about $3 million.
When he passed?
This is at May 31st, 2024.
Yeah.
So, on Stylecaster.com. So take that for whatever it's worth.
It's got to be true. If it's on Style, the old saying, if it's on Stylecaster, it's got to be true.
If it's on Stylecaster or FX and it involves Schwarzenegger's kid, I'm buying it.
Got to be true. All right. Does the bullishness you're about to hear on the Texans concern you? Not just from one national pundit, but from a current Houston Texan himself. We will have that for you coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, before we play this bit of audio here, update from Texans practice. Danielle Hunter back at practice today.
Oh, he was gone.
He was gone yesterday. D'Amico did not sound worried about it yesterday and stands to reason he's back today. Blake Fisher left practice on a cart yesterday. He was not carted off. He left practice on a cart. Carted off means you're debilitated. He left practice for some sort of reason, medical or otherwise. Yeah. He's suited up again today and practicing. So,
I choose to think that he underestimated how hot and humid it was outside of Cleveland and was just taxed and exhausted and dehydrated.
Dude, it's...
They gave him a couple IVs and then there you go.
It's the hottest. They picked a great week to be up in Ohio because it is the hottest week of the summer here in Houston. So they did a good job picking that. Here's who's not practicing. It's a fairly lengthy list. Kamari Lassiter, Jeff Okuda, Will Anderson Jr. still not practicing, but D'Amico also said yesterday he's not concerned about Will Anderson Jr., but he's not practicing. Brevin Jordan not practicing. Charlie Heck has a foot injury. He's not practicing. Desmond King, this is all according to Aaron Wilson. Joe Mixon, quadriceps strain, which matches up with what I saw. Joe Mixon rubbing his front of his thigh 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, is this the first time they've actually listed the quad officially?
That I've seen. And again, it's Aaron Wilson reporting it. The Texans don't list anything because it's the preseason.
Okay, so Aaron, that's probably Aaron putting his, because Aaron knows these things.
Yep. Yes. Tim Settle, not practicing. Tegan Quatoriano. His injury in the game turned out to be a calf. He did get carted off the field at the Hall of Fame game, but it turned out people were fearful it was a knee, it was a calf.
I guess, if you think about it, it's a Friday game, so this is like a Friday practice. So this would be like an in-season Friday practice, right?
Today's Tuesday. Friday. So this
would be like a Thursday practice.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more concerning, the guys that aren't practicing then.
Noah Brown, not practicing. No listing of an injury. D'Nico Autry and Aaron Putz suspended. He's allowed to practice, right?
Yeah, he's allowed to practice and play in the games.
Yeah,
right.
So he's not practicing, and Laremy Tunsil's still not practicing.
I think Aaron's just trying to twist the knife on D'Amico Autry. Maybe. They're like, just not to mention that he's suspended.
Yeah. Freaking guy. Yeah, what the hell?
I would like D'Amico Autry to get some preseason time. You know,
for
just
sure.
To get his wits about him, get sharp, get a little bit of taste for it before you you take your six-week vacation.
Before you go into hibernation for 6 weeks,
Try to get whatever you lost from whatever that illicit compounding pharmacy error
was. It was a mistake.
Was.
Yeah. It was a,
a mistake that the compounding pharmacy and or, I'm guessing, I'm just purely speculating, it was a sketchy longevity doctor from South Beach that they had tried to slip something in that he thought was like the new version of the clear or something like that.
Yep. Here's Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark with one of the boldest Texan predictions that we've heard from anybody yet.
All right, so Houston Texans, they're going to the AFC Championship, and I've told you guys this the entire time. And I believe that they have an opportunity to win it. When you look at this team and the way they set themselves up throughout the offseason, I believe Nick Caserio, the GM, he believes this as well. You don't go out and acquire Stephon Diggs if you don't. You don't add those pieces defensively. And so I expect to see this team playing in the last Sunday of the conference championship.
All right, man. Him and Lewis Riddick.
I don't know if his logic. I don't quite follow his logic in terms of like, well, yeah, just trying to make the AFC Championship game doesn't mean that you're going to make the AFC Championship game. But the moves that they did make in trying to go to the AFC Championship game, the biggest question you have is, okay, let's go back to that Ravens game in the playoffs. If you had won that game, you would have been in the AFC Championship game. What has changed from that game? I think one big thing from each side of the ball. I think on the defensive side of the ball, the Texans in that AFC divisional game, D'Amico blitzed way more and they were way more aggressive than the Texans had been all year. And it worked for a little while, but ultimately, once the Ravens adjusted to it and recognized what the Texans were trying to do, the Texans just did not have the defensive horses to handle it. They couldn't handle that offense. So I do think, yes, they will be an improved defense. I think I feel better in that regard, that they can be more of a challenge for the Ravens this year or the Chiefs or somebody like that. Offensively, one of the most glaring issues they had, aside from the wide receiving core being vastly depleted, it was just pressure up the middle. And what is your interior offensive line going to do? That's the huge question mark. If they want to be a genuinely, title contending team, they can't have as glaring of an issue at the interior offensive line. So that's really all on Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green at this point. Can you guys be viable? You don't have to be Pro Bowlers. You don't have to. You just got to be viable. Can you be viable for me?
This is the second time today where I've thought to myself, man, that opener against the Colts is super intriguing. Like the first time was when we were talking about mobile quarterbacks earlier on the show, and Anthony Richardson right out of the chute. Now he can't hit the broadside of a barn throwing the football, but he presented already all kinds of challenges for the Texans in week two. Last season running the football, as you've pointed out many times, Seth, they didn't face many mobile quarterbacks last year. Richardson was one of the few, and they didn't do well in that. So Richardson defending him, but then now where you're talking about the interior, I mean, that's the strength of the Colts defense with DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart in week one. I mean, we're going to get quick answers to that question in the season.
Right, right. And there's things, they did things to counteract the weaknesses to where pass protection wasn't as big an issue as you might think. But it was stuff that hurts the overall potency of the offense. So I'm not as worried about C.J. Stroud's health. It's just that if you have to keep tight ends and running backs in to block, then you can't really have this wide open version of the Texans offense that it looks like it could be on paper. And then the other side of it is just, can you run the ball? Can you run the ball when you really need to run the ball? They made progress on that in the second half of last season, but they couldn't run the ball when they needed to versus good defenses.
That's right.
So, and that's another thing. It doesn't have to be an earth-shatteringly awesome rushing attack or anything, but man, when teams sit back and play coverage and only try to stop the run with their front seven, can you run the ball then? Can you spread the ball out and still run the ball? That's the huge question mark.
Yep. So Ryan Clark thinks they're getting to the AFC title game. I start to get a little nervous when people get on the bandwagon, but it is way more fun than them being ignored, the Houston Texans. How about this one? This is Cam Akers. This is after the game on Thursday last week, after the Hall of Fame game, where he was asked, I believe this might have been Aaron Wilson also asking this question, Cam Akers on why he chose to come to the Houston Texans.
I would say closer to home, closer to where I'm from, and the opportunity here is like no other. The team here is like no other. I would say it's a super team, whenever I can work my way into that role. But it's a super team here, everything's already in place. We got the coaches, we got the players, we got the quarterback, receivers, defense. What don't you have here? Running back, we got Joe. So everything's here. I just want to play my part.
And they weren't thought of that way 2 years ago.
I think a lot of people would say that.
A year ago.
Cam Akers is like, I've got it on my Twitter right here. I probably yes. Go look through my tweets. I don't know. I don't know if he does or doesn't. But all right. I know you thought the exact same thing I did when I heard
I did.
Super team.
Dream team.
Yeah.
When a new player comes onto a team that, like Vince Young did to the Eagles, and isn't even necessarily an integral part of that team, and yet decides to call them a dream team.
Super team.
I would say a super team. I mean, for it to be a true super team, I'm happy with the Joe Mixon trade and signing. I'm cool with it. they wanted Saquon Barkley. I had my arguments about I wanted Derrick Henry over Saquon Barkley, et cetera, but Saquon Barkley feels a little bit more like a super team acquisition.
Yeah.
Than Joe Mixon does feel like a super team acquisition.
Maybe he meant super team like lowercase s, not capital S. You know what I mean?
Super team.
Yeah, they're super. They're dandy.
Like Ned Flanders super?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but everything's super with Ned Flanders.
Sue Diddly Ooper. Yes. Yeah. That's what he meant. Sue Diddly Ooper, yes. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they are here. They are in the loop today. Chris Santiago on the producer keyboard back there. Fellas, how are you? Hey, let me ask you guys a question.
Ask me.
That I put up as a poll yesterday, mm-hmm. and Seth and I kind of chopped it up about this earlier in the show. If you could choose one player's career to be, you get to pick a wide receiver mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. in NFL lore,
mm-hmm.
would you rather be Andre Johnson, Hall of Famer, 7-time Pro Bowler, all sorts of individual accolades and stats, but 2 playoff wins his entire career. And yeah. he carried the burden of a bad franchise for a while.
Yeah.
Or would you rather be Julian Edelman, who has very few individual regular season? He's never been a Pro Bowler,
mm-hmm.
But he won a Super Bowl MVP, and he has 3 Super Bowl rings. Who would you rather be, Andre Johnson or Julian Edelman?
Julian Edelman.
You would?
Yeah, I the individual accolades are forever, but 3 Super Bowls?
3 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. And Figgy, who would you rather be?
I'd rather be Andre Johnson.
You would? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think him getting in the Hall of Fame, his brand about to skyrocket
yeah.
just for having that gold jacket.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, I love the
3. You can figure with all that branding.
Yeah. I'm the brand king. No, I'll just laugh. But just those 3 Super Bowls, like, I don't know how much that will, you know, do for him going forward.
Just being
the Hall of Famer. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just those. Yeah.
I think it'd do a lot. Here's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
If both of those guys walked into a bar
mm-hmm.
in Omaha, Nebraska,
okay,
the majority of people would go to Julian Edelman.
You think so,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Especially if he had the rings on.
Yes,
right?
Recognizable yeah, face. See, people know him. You know, his brand is not going
to
suffer.
But see, would people go to Ted Johnson more than Andre Johnson?
Well, but Ted Johnson didn't have Edelman's career, MVP of the Super Bowl. And,
no, but yeah. he did have 3 Super Bowl rings. Yeah. And boy, he looks scary. And they might stay away from Ted because he's scary.
That is a good way to think about it. I think that Ted Johnson doesn't necessarily have the same level of adulation that Julian Edelman
Correct.
Does.
Definitely does not. That's true.
Yeah, so there's that. I guess, yeah, for me, I was looking at it less about, not about how others perceive you or anything, but for me, I just think of like, okay, like, I always get jealous of the Super Bowl reunions.
Yes.
And
yes.
all of those. Like, man, like, yeah, that's the feeling. Like, that's the feeling you're really going for is like, oh, yeah, we did it. Like, we won that championship and all those memories and everything. You don't have those same punctuated moments
yes.
With the individual honors like you do with the team stuff.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, Seth, as you can tell, Seth said Edelman. My answer was Edelman, but if he only had 1 Super Bowl ring, I think it might be Andre Johnson.
Oh, for sure.
It's the 3 for me.
No, for sure.
So it's for you, same thing. It's
and the MVP.
And the MVP, yeah.
Like there's,
yeah.
there's how many of those are 50, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah 50, 58 or 57, yeah, whatever.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, some have been twice, so really less than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. So there's a ton of guys not practicing up there today.
I know. We're going to update everybody today.
Yeah.
It's a little bit frustrating. It might be getting a lot frustrating.
Is it enough? Do you think they're going to cancel the combined practice with the Rams?
There's like a chance.
They did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saints.
They had to cancel the combined practices with the Saints because they were so banged up by that point. And then it becomes a question of like, oh, man, are D'Amico's practices too physical? Or all of those questions that come up. I would point to the Steelers as a team that has very physical training camps and has surpassed expectations yeah. more often than not.
Is it significantly like with just shoulder pads on, you can't bring guys to the ground? Does it feel super different than after a regular practice, like no pad practice? I don't know.
Like none of these practices are really all that physical anymore
anywhere.
But that's like me being a grumpy old man, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, and both teams would have to, you know, last year the Saints were banged up too, and the Rams, they'd lost Nakua already. They've got some banged up players as well.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to four more hours of great points.
How about
great points by you and all kind of branding tips.
I promise
from
I will make a great point today.
We'll see.
Hey, great point.
Hey, great point one. All right. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, I look forward to listening to the Great Points podcast. For 4 hours.
There you go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.